This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
626158. For Left Forum program information, visit www.leftforum.org. And again, for child care registration, email Jamie, that's J-A-M-I-E, at leftforum.org, or call 646-262-6158, because mothers are activists, too.
In honor of Women's History Month, the creative spirits of the state of New Jersey proudly presents In Pursuit of Justice, the Ida B. Wells story, Sunday, March 16th. For over 30 years, Creative Spirits has been committed to the pursuit of justice, fairness, and opportunities for our youth, and is honored to continue the work of so many of our great ancestors. So please join us in Newark at 35-37 Hillside Avenue, Sunday, March 16th, 3 p.m., for In Pursuit of Justice, the Ida B. Wells story, starring Janice Jenkins. And like Ida B. Wells, let's all take a stance to make a difference. For ticket information, call 973-676-9884. That's 973-676-9884.
Progress invites you to Clash of the Artists.
Banho de mama.
Qual foi?
É a guerra no Vietnã, a brasileira, na cidade dos homens, a história verdadeira. Acerola e Laranjinha, os dois parceiros, crias do morro desde os tempos de menino. Na correria em busca da sobrevivência, trabalhando de montão, fugindo da delinquência. Madrugadão, bambambando no do morro, traído por nefasto, teve de pedir socorro. Saiu fora prometendo a vingança, pois teve de ir embora da quebrada de infância. Enquanto isso, a esposa de Acerola, trampando pra madame, planejava sair fora. Ela sonhava ter uma vida melhor, pra ir morar na sol do batalhão de sol a sol. Mas a procura de um pai vai Laranjinha, no Rio 40 graus, Brasil, pátria minha.
É a guerra no Vietnã,
a brasileira,
na cidade dos homens, a história verdadeira.
É a guerra no Vietnã, a brasileira, na cidade dos homens, a subida da ladeira.
É a guerra no Vietnã, a brasileira, na cidade dos homens, a história verdadeira.
É a guerra no Vietnã, a brasileira, na cidade dos homens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Danny. Where's Danny?
Thank you. tell you something. I was just having a Paul Wonder moment there. This is the soundtrack. This very last piece that I just played is the soundtrack to Days of Heaven, which is a beautiful, you know, kind of a haunting film, and partially because of the music. And I actually bought it. I mean, you know how rare that is for me, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I actually bought it, and I had to buy it online because it's one of those rare things. They just released it along with Two Mules for Sister Sarah, which is also a great score.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, it brings me right back to Sunday morning, somewhere between 3 and 5 in the morning, or 5 and 8 in the morning when Paul mm-hmm. used to come on, mm-hmm. and just listening to this beautiful music. I hadn't even seen the film. I just remember hearing the music and just like this haunting, you know, guitar. Wow. Wasn't that a beautiful piece of music?
Yeah, it was, and it's really interesting that you say that, you know, you were taken back to a much more innocent time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, even in the last 72 hours, like some of the stuff that's just been coming out in the news, obviously the Spitzer stuff, you heard about that, right?
Well, yeah, but some people aren't surprised at all.
You know, and then this whole thing about, like, all this stuff that's in our water.
Yeah, I read about that too.
You know, the drugs and stuff. It doesn't feel like there's any more innocent times. It's just really, maybe it's just my perspective now, but it just seems like very, very scary times, dude.
Did you hear about the new commandments that the Pope has released?
They've got to release all kinds of new commandments.
There's new commandments, I swear to you. I have it here on Night Shift. You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. A pixie has just flitted into the room wearing her pixie hair. This is such a great score. I love this. This is Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Great score. And it's so, having Ennio Morricone behind Clint Eastwood in itself was kind of like a, you know, it just meant something. Because it's Clint's composer at that time. Anyway. This reminds me of another great score from the 70s, 70s Western. I don't know if you ever saw a film called Buck and the Preacher.
No.
All right. Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte did a Western. Sidney Poitier directed it. It's called Buck and the Preacher. It's great.
Actually, that does sound familiar.
It's great Western, but the score is fantastic. It's Quincy Jones, and it's just fantastic. And it has, it's all one of these, whatever that harmonic, that wow, that. What is that? Is that a Jew harp? A Jewish harp? What do they call it?
A Jew's harp.
Jew's harp, right.
Yeah.
And it's great. The whole score is a Jew's harp. And it's just, it's great. It's a great score. It's... See, I wish the score was available because I would have it instead of having to sing it. What did you say, Elena?
Please don't keep doing that.
I will love to. Listen, please. I listen back to tapes. I hear Elena snorting and hawking and hee-hawing in the background.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I understand. That's what you've been taught. That's how you've been raised. Well, I have so much, you know, you talk about the stuff in the news. There's so much. I have so much fantastic. Life is like science fiction. It's fantastic. When I say fantastic, I mean fantastic.
No, stop.
Okay? Fantastic. Okay? Some of it is just pure the essence of what life is like science fiction is. And some of it's, you know, there's really not much you can say. A couple things I thought of you. Robotic drumstick keeps you on the beat.
Oh.
A machine that controls an officer's drumstick to help them learn to play could be the first in a string of robotic musical teachers.
Actually, Mike,
this device has been found to cut the time it takes to pick up new rhythms, according to a study. Music teachers often guide a student's hand to get across the complex or subtle movements, says Graham Grinley, a computer scientist who developed the device, says, I had an idea of a drum kit that would guide you through the playing.
Wow.
And the now, it says, Grinley previously experimented with a guiding drumstick tip using magnets, but found a mechanical. That's right. But found a mechanical system more effective. This approach resulted in what Grinley has dubbed the haptic guidance system, or HAGAS, which has a drumstick attached to a set of motors. The user grasps a stick with their arm held in position by an adjacent brace, see image on right, and so their hand is guided by the action of the motors.
Oh, that sounds good.
Wow.
I could use my own life.
Life is like science fiction. That's right, Chris.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Chris, if I give that to you, would you give that to me?
The robotic.
You know, Mike, it's funny. You listen to the poll. One other thing also, you know, I had a moment where I was watching Chain Reaction. I had forgot that Jerry had wrote the music for that.
Yes, right. Yes.
You know, and I'm just, it was like, I think I caught it like after 10 minutes that it just, you know, was on.
And then you realize it was Jerry?
No, I just started listening. I was going, oh, it's just Jerry. And then I just started thinking like how gracious and how wonderful and how nice he was
sure.
to us. And
Jerry was the man.
Oh, it's just, you know, I just started, you know, thinking about that. Isn't that weird? I didn't, like, it's just funny you talk about Paul Wonder and just...
Well, you see, that's the thing about Paul Wonder. You know, it's funny. Someone sent in a pledge, and I want to thank them. They sent in with a really beautiful letter saying how much they appreciated, you know, what we do here in the show. And you know, talking about like sensibilities and sharing that gift of insight and all that stuff. And the music. You know, they, which, by the way, I have the CDs here with me. I have the master CD. I even went so far as to get printed up inserts. Check it out, Elena. Elena, check it out.
Wow.
See, DGM 2008 Volume 1. Take a look at that. Look
Very
at that.
Nice.
Look at that. And I even have a full track listing in full color that comes with it. In color. And that's right. Color. Full color. I spent money. Check
wow.
this out.
Look no, Mike spent
yes,
money?
Yes, I did. Yes,
that
I did.
Is life
and that's
fiction.
That's a lot these days.
Yes,
because,
it is, babe. Let me tell you, babe.
I spent money.
Outrageous.
Matter of fact, what just happened is I was driving tonight.
Hey, wait. Tell me, was it wild to you that OPEC said, no, it's not us.
Yeah.
It's not us. It's them.
It went from 237. And then 6 hours later, I'm driving by, and it's now $2.49
now,
at
you
the
know
same gas station.
You don't want to know what's interesting? I don't think there's any other industry. Now, it's quote-unquote, except maybe of diamonds, okay? And even that, it's not within hours. People change their prices. It's like they're not even paying more yet, but they automatically gouge you,
yep.
and it's legal. Do you think
regulate? And everything. I mean, I don't know the last time you went shopping, but I mean,
well, gas
everything.
Become regulated, and the government totally takes over all oil companies, and gas is regulated.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to survive.
All right, how about this? What about that? I have another science fiction concept for you.
Yeah,
let's say Hillary gets in, right? Okay, and this came for a discussion.
Actually, go ahead.
All right,
Hillary
gets
that
in.
With you.
Wait, listen. Hillary gets in, she becomes president, right?
Right.
And then for the next 50 years, we have nothing but female presidents.
Why is
okay,
that life
well, that, you know,
is science
that's
fiction?
That's like science fiction. I like that. I want to see
I'm
the world.
I'm a little offended by that.
50 years from now, from women who rule the United States, where are we? I'd like to see 20 years from now. I just want to see, is there
any difference? Okay, well, so
what would happen?
So you think that Hillary's going to get in over Obama?
Well, this is the, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
This is my science fiction concept.
Yeah, oh, science fiction concept.
Science
so you're kind of skating
concept.
The edge.
Yeah.
Skating
so
the
Chris,
edge.
He's basically
this
in.
This is night shift.
Yeah, this is night shift.
I'm insulting the entire female race.
Right?
I mean, that's life.
Stop.
Life
stop.
Fiction.
I think it'd be great.
Listen,
I think it'd be great to have a woman president. I think it would be great to have an African American president.
But is she one, Chris?
I think that either one would be great. I think as a team, I think that if one of them, whichever one is
has
the
smaller
one
ego,
then I think that the other one should be
ego.
The vice president. I think that would be an incredible ticket. I think that
I think you are not alone in that thinking.
You know, and I would like to see that happen because I think that you know I pray that the world can get better because I mean
if a black man or a woman is president, the world will get better.
Well,
I like that.
You know,
let a black man or a woman do better. I'm with that.
I don't think it's about that. It's about the individual.
But this is what Chris
said. I really don't know how people that are in political office right now can sleep at night.
Why? Maybe because of Spitzer?
That they have made.
Like, a man like that has to pay. All right. So.
You know.
Well, there it is. I have so many stories. I have so many stories. I just want to get out into the world now. You know, American politics, all that. Let's get out into the world. Let's get out into the world. The world of night show. Hey. See, that's what I have. Tons of CDs of you doing that.
Thank you.
I do.
Elena, let's lose.
Yeah, exactly. I could do totally. An edit of all her various sounds. Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
Yeah,
hello. How y'all doing, man?
We're all right, right. We didn't give out the theme yet. Do you want the theme? And what's your name, sir?
My name is Sabbath.
Your name is Sabbath?
Sabbath.
Oh, fabulous.
Fabulous.
I was thinking, when you talked about Hillary as president,
yes.
You there?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, because Clintons have a very good zap ray.
They have a what ray? A zap ray?
Science fiction. They have a ray zap if anybody's going
that they can
search
like,
their
like
campaign
the force.
Or anything, they suddenly die.
I understand. Like a death, like a political death ray. Yes. I like that. That's very good, sir. What's your name? Okay.
His name is Fabulous.
Still can't get it.
Fabulous. Is that Fabulous? Hello, you're on the air. Uh-oh. Battling bass and drum there.
Yeah, it's from
that, you know, I did a James Bond show a couple weeks ago. That's somebody calling out in some strange way, letting me know. I heard that show.
Oh, that's them letting you know.
I think so. That's
They're
my
reaching
take.
Out.
That's my take. Because we haven't given out the number. So these are a certain breed. These are callers. They're not listeners who are calling, who decided to call. I haven't given out the number or the theme. It's 1240. Hello, you're on the air.
Ah.
Hello, you're in the air.
Nope, see, no good.
Michael and Chris and Elena.
Is that Jeffrey?
Did you enjoy that little James Bond thing there?
Was yes. that you, Jeffrey?
You know what that was from? Brian Setzer, one rockin' night, he opens the show with that.
Brian Setzer?
You know, from the Stray Cats, Mike?
Yeah, Bridget Eklund, right? Isn't he married to her? Or wasn't married to her?
Chris, the wife is not the point here. Brian sets a Stray Cats, then the big band orchestra with eight different CDs already, Chris. Come on. You're the music man.
No, I know who he is. I'm just, you know, his brother is Elliot.
I know. Elliot paid $4,000. Michael, $4,300 for 2.5 hours of prostitution. What could that have entailed?
Quite a bit.
What could that have entailed?
Listen to me.
I'm with that.
When you're spending $5,000, you better get your money's worth.
I can tell you what it entails.
I know what it entails.
Okay.
Listen, one day you'll find out.
Well, one day, someday.
That's right. Save up $5,000. You too.
Actually, don't give the show.
Jeff, do you want to know what it entails?
Don't, Chris.
I'm not. All I'm going to say.
Don't indulge him. Don't indulge him. All right, why don't you give out the number, Elena?
212-209-2900. And I can be cheaper than 5,000.
Yeah, I love this cut, Chris. I want to know what you think of it, okay? Okay, hold on.
What?
I just like it.
I give you $25.
Play it.
I want to play it
too.
It's very like, it's kind of like that, it's somewhat 70s power rock mm-hmm. kind of thing. All right, here we go. Except that it's, you know, very new agey.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, who's this?
Maria.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Maria, how long have you been listening to the show? You say Maria like I would know you.
You know me, Maria. Elena.
Elena.
Yeah.
Maria, Elena. Okay. Maria, Elena. Like Chris, do you remember Maria, Elena?
Yeah.
Have you seen her baby?
What's up?
Her baby is? The cutest baby. All right, no, wait. All right, I want you to hear this cut, though, Chris. All right, let me back it up. I wish you had upgraded your Safari so that you could listen to the show online. Now, you just have to turn this cut up at home. If you're at home, just turn it up. Tell me if it works for you. You like it, Chris?
I love it. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like the Spike Lee's last film, The Bank Robbery.
Oh, yeah, that had a great score.
That had the beginning of the score sounds a lot like this.
Yeah, it did. It was good. Except it was a little more Indian. Inside Man.
Inside Man, yeah.
Well, there it is.
That's great. I love it. Who's that?
I forget. I got to have to look at the CD.
But it's great.
Yeah, let's get all the music off the radios.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, okay, we'll do that right away.
But I love people like that who listen and call. Did you give out the list in yet, Elena?
Can't hear me.
I hear you now.
You can't hear me.
Poor Elena. 209-2900.
Elena, let's go to Graceland together. Come on.
Elena, do you want to list the new sins? The new sins? Including pollution? There are new sins. The Vatican has released them. Do you want to read that story?
Sure.
There you go. You have
Elena needs a road trip, Mike. You know that, right?
She
road trips every day. I mean,
what Elena are you talking about?
Not the one on the phone. We're talking about the one in the...
We'd like to hear if you'd like to go on a road trip, and where would you go?
I, personally, I would go anywhere. I'm totally down with a road trip. All right, here we go. How about this? For things in the future... You know, ways in which to hurt your lover. Italian jailed for emailing nude photos of ex-lover. An Italian man was jailed for more than 2 years after putting pornographic pictures of his ex-girlfriend on the internet and sending them out to more than 15,000 emails. The 32-year-old man had created a website that appeared to show his ex-girlfriend offering sexual favors and erotic games with her phone number also on display. The man, who also sent threatening text messages to the woman and her parents, was accused of aggravated defamation, threatening, and violence. In its ruling, the Milan court said that the man had publicized photo and data that should have remained private and done so without his ex-girlfriend's consent. The court sentenced him to 2 years and 4 months in jail.
That'll give him some time to think about his actions.
Yeah, well.
How about wife snagging left me impotent?
Okay, I'd like to hear that.
An Italian man also is demanding $140,000 in compensation after claiming his wife's constant nagging left him impotent.
People are not getting along in Italy, are they? Damn.
He has produced medical evidence.
Will you shut up, please?
In court that back up his claims that his wife's nagging.
Will you shut up! I can't even get it up anymore! All I do is think of you yelling and nagging. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And if you're... His wife's nagging caused him so much stress that he has been left impotent.
I can't even get it up anymore!
Stop!
I'm sorry.
Nagging!
He said all that she does is complain. It is extremely stressful and has left me unable to be a man.
Why not leave her? Is there divorce in Italy? Do they divorce each other?
No, he wants some compensation.
Well, why did he stay? I don't understand.
Look what you've done to me.
It's like it takes so much effort to leave.
Definition of martyrdom.
You know, it'd be really funny. The guy's like 60 years old, you know? It's like I'm 60 years old or 65, and it's because of my wife's nagging that I'm impotent now. You know, it's only like 2 out of every 3 men go impotent after age 50 if they watch that show.
If they have nagging wives.
And that's why you have to order that special stuff. The little blue pill that Jeff makes at his house. He'll probably call back.
Now, here's the 70s. Here's the 70s song that works.
Did you hear they found
80s?
Rings around the moon?
That's not the only place they found rings,
stop.
Right?
Stroke me.
I have some interesting news about electric cars. I just have so much stuff here to tell you.
Well, go ahead. I'm excited because I watched
so
the show the other night. Like, what would happen to the planet if humans just disappeared?
Yes. It would blossom.
It was great. Basically, the bottom line is let's get out of the way, you know, let the Earth go back to the way.
So maybe we should blast us out of the Exodus.
Well, they were just saying that cell phones will probably last 25,000 years.
I hear you. That's the
goal. But cockroaches will probably die, and that everything on the moon will be there that was left there. If we ever went there, it'll still be there, even when we're not here anymore.
Well, there it is. Legacy.
They found water on Mars, according to...
Yeah, no, I heard about that.
You know, Richard Hoagland, he was a...
Not really, because the thing they say is just a sediment. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, nobody's there.
What's the?
Oh,
what's
they're already leaving.
All right, here's the theme.
212-209-2900.
Here's the theme. I had two themes, and you tell me which one you think we should go for here.
All right.
I had either Nate or
Lena's like exhausted already. She's usually not even there that early.
Exactly.
Like I'm exhausted. My God, I need a burger.
All right, so here it is. Either you can, and Lena, you get to choose. Either
Sure. Neighbor
horror stories or landlord horror stories. Because I have both.
I want both. But go ahead.
I have both.
We can do both.
Which one do you
want? We can do a combo.
No. We only have an hour left of the show. You can't do both. Do one or the other. We do one another week. So
whatever you want, Elena.
What do you say, Elena?
Let's do neighbor.
Neighbor horror stories. Okay. Do you have any neighbor horror stories?
Well, let's see. One next door neighbor is one of the reasons for our cockroach problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, they were everywhere. And
now,
we weren't the
this?
Cleanest people on the planet, but on
so
the Upper East Side.
Oh, this is Upper East Side, okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you say we, who was living with you?
I had three other girls living with me.
Okay.
You had three girls? You talking about the place over on the East Side?
No, that's her own place.
Elena, you moved?
No, this is, no, before,
this is before
she moved. She had three roommates before.
Oh.
Now she lives alone.
So,
now she lives and she can be naked.
This
she
is the
wants.
Place with the, we were living in the railroad apartment and we saw a lot of things that we shouldn't have seen.
Who's we?
Mean?
Who's we saw a lot of things?
We.
And what was going on in these rooms? Other people?
Anyway. So, there was just as many roaches as there were us. I mean, by far.
That's,
I mean, they were on our toothbrushes. They were there when we were.
They were on your toothbrushes.
Oh, you know, when I went and visited a friend of mine, the roaches were so bad I could hear them crawling on the.
I've experienced that.
On their Reynolds wrap.
Stop.
They had Reynolds wrap on. I could hear the roaches crawling
that
on.
That is some utter nastiness. Okay, listen.
I'm serious. I stayed at somebody's house when I was like,
you know,
I got
to add a list. I have to add a list
like
to the list.
18 years old.
Apartment hunting horror stories.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Oh, that's even worse.
Exactly. I have some of those. I'm going to list that one. All right, so go ahead. The neighbors. Now, what was the deal? This is the filthy neighbors.
It was a poor old person, and he just couldn't take care of everything, so the roaches would just, like, infiltrate into our apartment.
To the point
where they were on the couch, they were on our beds.
And it was all because of the neighbors?
I even killed one under my leg.
You killed one on your leg?
Yeah, it was just sitting down on the
That's
floor,
horrifying.
Conversing,
horrifying.
And it died under my leg.
That's horrifying. That's horrifying. You know, you put that in your personal ad, like, kill roaches with my leg.
So you know I have some pretty hot legs.
I bet.
So, it was pretty bad.
That's horrifying. So the neighbors
you,
were
like,
so
put your
filthy.
Shoes on and they were there?
And you didn't try bombing or you? What about the thing you plug into the wall? And
we did.
Bugs be gone.
We
plug
did
them in the wall.
We did the boric acid, which
boric
worked pretty
acid,
well.
Boric acid, oh, come on. That is the lamest of the lame.
Why?
Let me tell
Does
you
it
how
it.
It's a stopgap. Just kills a few roaches.
So what would you do?
What would I do? Let me
tell
you.
Oh, my God.
We're talking
please.
About
my
a very
cat.
Old apartment.
Right,
I'm not even blaming my poor neighbor.
I learned how to deal with roaches. I do not have roaches. I learned. You need to learn to. Well, you don't have them anymore, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, but I did a whole show on, like, how to not have roaches.
Yeah, I think Elena was there.
She was probably, yeah, of course.
I probably was there,
like,
and I didn't learn.
She doesn't remember. All right, so neighbor horror story.
Even
so,
in my current...
So the
so I can't
the
even
old
put it
neighbor
on my...
who couldn't take care of himself and had the roach and caused a roach infestation wherein you killed him with your legs.
Yeah, I killed him with my legs.
I understand. That's a pretty horrifying story. That's a neighbor horror story. Hello, you're in the air.
It's a nice ship. Slap happy hour.
Okay. What's the phone number you said, Elena?
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's me again. You hung up.
No, I didn't hung up. I heard a dial tone. Maybe.
Why'd you hang up on him, Mike? Right.
Because of the dial tone. Hello, you're on the air.
And actually, Mike, can I interject?
Yes.
Just 1 second?
Yes.
I shouldn't even... You know, bust on my poor neighbor because I am so dirty right now. The apartment is a disaster.
A disaster. Do you have roaches that you're killing with your legs?
No, not yet. But
all right, that's
I deserve them.
I understand.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, are you taking out your garbage?
Like
I mean,
a PA system.
I do it on occasion.
On occasion, I hear you.
But I don't clean out the tub.
Elena, I mean Maria. I have to call you Maria.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any neighbor horror stories?
I do.
So give me one. Let me hear one.
It was a building I lived in, and...
What borough? Come on, give us some perspective.
Well, I live upstate, you know that.
All right, but where was this building?
In Westchester County.
Okay, go ahead.
And it was in Peekskill, and it wasn't in my building, but it was the building next door.
Mm-hmm.
And this one lady, she lives by herself, and she always had her curtains open and everything, and one time we were walking by, me and my mother, and she was actually doing a dog.
Oh, stop!
No, whatever.
Stop!
You're making that up.
Stop!
I swear to God.
Oh, come on.
I swear.
And with the window open?
With the window open.
I cannot believe that.
No way.
I don't buy it. I don't buy that, Maria.
It's true.
Maria, you were doing this back in the crack days.
What kind of dog?
All right, that's horrifying. Hello, you're in the air. Hello. What's the phone number, Eleni, you said?
212. I'm speechless.
I know.
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're on the air. Yes. It's the neighbor from hell. Hello.
No, it's the dog.
Exactly. It's like,
I'm calling to defend myself.
Exactly. And he sounds like...
She's good.
Stop. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling to confirm that story. That dog was me.
She wasn't. She's like, it was my ex-boyfriend. She was doing that dog. All right. Anyway, listen. Do you have a neighbor horror story?
Yes, I do.
Talk to me.
There's it right now. I have this young girl that lives across, right across from where my door's at. Yeah. And every time her mother sneaks out, she brings a guy over, and this guy is crazy, and they're constantly having sex, and the music's blasting loud, and I constantly have to knock on the door and tell them to lower the music.
Wow, and where do you live? Where is this?
Queens.
Queens, where in Queens?
Astoria.
I hear you.
Astoria, so it's...
Yeah.
I could say things I'm not trying
don't
to say.
Don't say things.
Yeah, don't.
What's wrong with the story? It's
nothing,
great,
nothing. You got some
great
crazy neighbors.
Say, you know,
don't say it. Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it.
It's a public radio station.
Yeah, but that's my horror story.
That's a horror story. I'm with you on that. Trust me.
You live in a house or an apartment building?
It's one of those apartment buildings that have only three floors, and it's like three people live on each floor. Yeah, so you can really hear what they're doing.
That's like a nightmare.
You know, the sex part I don't mind because, you know, it gets my girlfriend started, but the music blasting
you're
on
you're living off those other people?
Why not?
It's better than a porno movie.
Look, I was walking around. I was at my friend's house over there in Woodstock, and like, the neighbors, these two ladies, all of a sudden they were going at it, and the windows were open, and it was like...
Was it summer?
Yeah, it was during the summer, yeah.
That's a good thing. What
They were like going at it. I mean, it was like 25, 30 minutes of just nonstop.
Hey, look at it, 25, 30. He stood and watched for 20.
No, I didn't watch.
25, 30 minutes. He's like, he knows exactly how long they went going.
I could hear
it's not
it.
Like,
25
yeah, right.
minutes.
Yeah, and... right. I could hear
no,
it.
No, we could
yeah,
hear
sure.
it.
Yeah, sure. Those are
no,
my Playboy's mom. I'm
more...
holding him for Billy.
He's no, taking pictures.
We know them. I like, met them. I mean, I know who they are.
Yeah, like, he's like, I know
the visual in my
I
head already.
I know who they are. I made a website. I got to back this up. This is a really good cut, too. I got to let you hear that. You got to tell me what you think of this cut, Chris, when I play it. What's the phone number you said here, lady?
You're like one of those weirdos, I swear.
You're
you don't even remember the phone number. You've only
you're
been there.
You're a fracket. I only say that.
No, he likes to make me.
She's my. What are you? My phone number slave.
No, she's your
I'm
muse.
I'm your babe.
Elena is your muse.
212-209-2900.
Allow yourself to feel. You are Michael's muse.
I'm totally Michael. Plus, he gives me a dollar every time I get the number.
Well, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Does he give you some fruit?
He's supposed to bring snacks, but he never does.
He's supposed to bring what?
Snacks.
Oh, Lena.
I need a Mike snack.
You sound so snacks. So snacky tonight. So
So we're going to be alone on that Greek island, aren't we?
Totally. Actually, I am thinking about going there.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome.
Which island? All of them. You know, you might meet some hark. You might meet some tall, dark, and handsome Greek man.
You might meet a Harkonnen.
You might meet a Harkonnen.
Sounds good to me.
They roam the dunes.
Hello, you on the air.
Cunt pussy.
Oops.
Oh, there it is.
How do we get this?
You know, what happens is,
it's
at
late
some point...
At night. And he's alone.
At some point, BAI will get, you know, the caller ID. And
caller ID, that would be great.
And then I really recommend, I really suggest that they do that because it's,
I'd like
it's,
to get caller
it takes,
zap.
It takes away from the show.
Caller,
you know?
Zap, like you get zapped when you do something stupid on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just, your number comes up and then you just get that phone call from the program director that says, stop calling BAI or else we're going to take me back.
Then we get his number and then call him and call him in the middle of the night.
Or just call my
right,
direct
well,
home number.
I do have
number.
Some things I want to mention. There are some movies to review. I have some DVDs to review. I have even a play to review that I'd like to encourage you. I have tickets to give away.
Ooh, tickets.
I
hey, listen, tickets. Did you see 10,000 BC?
Of course, I have tickets for 10,000 BC.
Can we talk about 10,000 BC?
We can talk about 10,000 BC.
I'm going to trash it.
Okay, no, don't trash it.
I'm going to trash it.
Don't trash it. Trash it next week.
Okay.
But I did see 10,000 BC. Mm-hmm. Great special effects.
Great special effects. I had a problem with some. Let me tell you something.
Where's Raquel Welch? You kept wondering.
I saw it in the theaters and people were yelling at the screen.
Well, then there it is. I don't know where you saw it.
Where were you, in the ghetto?
He was in the ghetto. Did you have any of your ghetto
Bronx,
cookies?
Right? Yeah. They were yelling at the screen. It was the funniest thing. The guys were so funny, man.
The cemetery full. Mayor tells locals not to die. The mayor of a village in southwest France has threatened residents with severe punishment if they die, because there is no room left in the overcrowded cemetery to bury them. In an ordinance posted in the council offices, Mayor Gerard Lalane told 260 residents of the village of Sarpernet, I don't know, in this village, that all persons not having a plot in the cemetery and wishing to be buried are forbidden from dying in the parish.
It added,
offenders will be severely punished. And what are they going to do? Mutilate their bodies?
Going to kill them.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I had a friend who had super roaches.
Cunt, pussy, cunt.
What was that?
He has two heads, and when he calls, one of them likes to make the call and wants to talk about roaches. The other one just wants to curse.
Well, I had this friend who had super roaches. Super strong roaches?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a bodybuilder, and he used to leave all these nutrients around the kitchen.
Superfoods, proteins, and stuff. And the roaches were... Well, you know, I have... Interesting that you should say that, because I do have a story that is really... Life is like science fiction, and it says a lot about evolution, because, you know, we all know how... Now, first of all, just to mention on roaches, the only real way to get rid of roaches, okay, is to do what they do in restaurants when they have to get rid of an infestation. You know, you have to bait. And you have to bait with something that will not kill the roaches right away, that they will bring back to the harborage and kill other roaches.
Yeah, that's combat.
Not combat. That's
bull. No?
That's crap.
Not combat.
Please. Yeah. I'm talking about industrial-grade stuff. You have to stop.
No,
you have to go. I'm talking about stuff.
You talking about roadside bombs.
No, none of that.
They
bombs.
Bring them back and blow them up.
Shut up. It's stupid. roadside bomb. No, you're so stupid. It's bait. Anyway, there's several. There's Max Force. There's about three out that all the exterminators use. Okay, professional exterminators. I did a lot of research. Point I'm making is, this is like Battle of the Roaches music. All right, anyway, point I'm making is, so we all know about that, okay? And so just keeping that in mind, toxic newts lose war against super immune snakes. An ancient battle between snakes and their prey could be over with the snake victorious. The outcome could have ominous implications for the battles playing out between humans and the microbes that infect us. Garter snakes along the west coast of North America have evolved super immunity against a newt armed with a poison so deadly that a single animal could kill a dozen people. The poison has escalated in power as the snake, the newt's main predator, has evolved resistance.
Wow.
It says here, the newts carry extremely high levels of tetrodotoxin, the same deadly poison found in blowfish. Ounce for ounce, some of these populations are the most toxic amphibians on the planet, the scientist says. He says they compared the toxin data with the resistance in common garter snakes. In most locations, the snake's level of resistance closely matched newt toxicity. In such cases, the poison temporarily slows the snakes down, but isn't enough to kill them. This supports the arms race theories explaining how toxicity and resistance co-evolve. While the snakes have achieved this super immunity from a single mutation, the scientist says that increases in toxicity only occur in smaller incremental changes in a number of the genes. Wow. And he thinks the microbes infecting humans could also develop super immunity. All right.
Well, that's how the super roaches evolved. You know, it was super nutrition.
Shut up.
Yeah, this is true.
Are they available
Listen,
for dating?
Sir, do you have any... Stop. Do you have any neighbor horror stories?
Come on, you have to have one.
Horror stories?
Neighbor horror stories.
Neighbor horror stories.
Hmm.
All right. You
There's a number of them, of course. I want to select. You want the most horrible?
I want the most, you know, what the one, yes.
No, the least horrible.
Stop. Yeah, of course you want the most horrible.
There is a story, of course, of cannibalism.
Oh, stop.
Yes.
Stop.
It's cannibalism.
Cannibalism,
yes.
No, I'm not talking about stories you heard. I want stories.
No, the neighbors. These were neighbors.
The cannibal neighbor story.
The neighbors. They had this.
Where was this?
Where? In the Bronx.
In the.
Oh man! Yeah.
There are cannibals in
you
the
know,
Bronx.
No, he's talking. He's saying the truth.
This sounds like a.
I back him up. Four mode, right?
Wait, there were cannibals in the Bronx. This sounds like a trauma film.
No, that's it.
Cannibals in the Bronx.
Yeah, they were locked into the apartment, and they couldn't get out.
Stop!
And they had this retarded child who was like 6
years
stop.
Old.
Oh, shut up!
Stop!
And then so they came down to...
Stop!
Turn him off.
No, I want to hear more.
I already ate the retarded child.
No, I don't want to hear the retarded child.
I don't want to hear it. Sorry about that, Alita.
That's
Maria.
Okay. I am offended.
No, I meant Maria. Hello, you're
oh,
in the air.
Oh, crap.
I wasn't apologizing to you. Hello, you're in the air.
Yeah, I got a story for you.
Talk to me. Who is this?
Sure.
My name is George. I lived in Pacific Palisades in California. I had this neighbor had a big dog.
Okay.
Whenever anybody was wandering through there was like a trail down there, joggers would walk by, he would just let this dog out and the dog would chase those.
Are you serious?
Down. Oh, yeah, all the time.
He would just let him out to
he
chase people.
He would let
people.
Him out. This dog would sit on the outside.
Would the dog
patio.
Have sex with the people?
Stop.
No.
Stop. No. Elena would reprogram that robotic arm. All right, go ahead.
Oh, it just was pain in the butt whenever you were walking by with, you know, a lot of the neighbors had dogs. We had a leash law, and he would just let the dog out, and the dog would chase down other dogs.
That's so ridiculous.
Mean.
Yeah.
How appropriate the music was.
Okay. Some of the music I was playing in the beginning is from the soundtrack to City of Men.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a sequel to City of God. Great score. Take a listen. It's Antonio Pinto. What's the phone number here, Elena?
Let me think. 212-209-2900.
I want to hear that cannibal story from the Bronx.
Yeah, of course you do, the cannibal
story. No, it's so
right, listen,
bad.
I want to mention something on a more serious note. I do have play that I went to see the other day that I really enjoyed. I thought it's very interesting because it deals with a lot of issues. It's a play called The Two Lives of Napoleon Beasley, and it's playing up until the 16th downtown. It's produced by the Incumbo Theater, and it's a very interesting production that talks about something. It's based on real events and things that happened in Texas within the last 10 years. But I do want to give out the information and where you can get tickets and all of that.
Cool.
But I really, one of the things is, hopefully when you go to see a play, or really any good entertainment, I think it makes you think. And this is definitely a piece that will make you think. It makes you think because it represents both sides of a situation. It's about a murder that's actually been committed, but the circumstances that this person is quote-unquote being brought to justice and what they want to do to the person are as unfair as the murder itself. So it's political, it's racial, it's about ideals, it's about a lot of things. And but I actually highly do recommend it. So it's at the Incumbo Theater. I'm going to give out where you can get tickets. It's not on this press release, of course. So I have to look at my email. But the piece is called The Two Lives of Napoleon Beasley. So a little Lena Reeter story and I will get the...
You have to do some work?
Yes, I have to do some work. Yes, I do. So, Lena, read your story.
Along the lines of the bug theory, researchers say bugs could ease famine. Crickets, caterpillars, and grubs are high in protein and minerals and can be an important food source during droughts and other emergencies, according to scientists. I definitely think they can exist. And, said German... Well, Chris, if you make fun of me, screw you.
I haven't made fun of you.
All right. Regularly eats insects and wore a T-shirt with a Harlequin longhorn beetle to a UN-sponsored conference this month on promoting bugs as a food source. 36 scientists from 15 countries gathering in the northern Thailand city, home to several dozen restaurants serving insects and other bugs. Some of those proposals were more down-to-earth than others. So, we're busting on the poor roach, but now we're finding that they might be a food source for...
That would be happiness, that roaches become a major food source in the future. Roaches and rats, because they can all they can be produced quickly and easily.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, no, listen, the way things are going right now, $6 a gallon, diesel's like $4.30. It's just $6 a gallon. Everything is going to be so affected.
Everything is affected. You go
anywhere. No, even worse than it is now. I know.
Prices are just going higher and higher because of quote unquote fuel upcharges, surcharges.
Yeah, but it's like, when is it going to stop? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You know what happened like 2 weeks ago?
Well, no, you see, you know what, can I just add one thing here?
Because I'll add my point after.
All right, make your point.
Well, 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, an antique dealer friend of mine in his 70s, he was supposed to do a show that weekend, and the weather was bad, and he had broke his hip at a show and was recovering from that. He broke his hip at a May show, and he wound up doing that show the following October, and then he was having some problems with his hip and everything, and so he called to cancel the show, and it was like, they were like, no, you're not getting your money back, you know. So he was like, all right. So he was out in the garage, and he was packing for the show, and then he just decided to just blow his brains out, which is what he did.
The connection here.
The connection is that I'm just out there in my mind tonight, but... No, I guess he just got fed up, man. I think people are just getting fed up. It's scary.
What stories about people being fed up have we been talking about? Here?
We haven't talked about people being fed up.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm off on a point.
Yeah, I understand. It had nothing to do with cars. Okay. It's like I mentioned cars.
I think he means gas overwhelming.
You think it all had to do with gas prices?
The economy.
I just think it has to do with, I just think that we're going to see more and more of this kind of
All right, well, check this out. All right, so everybody's talking about, oil prices are going through the roof. Okay? And what are people going to do? It's like you got to get more fuel-efficient cars. Cars could be twice as fuel-efficient as they are. They could. They were for a period of time. I don't know if you remember when it was, you know, it was a selling point at one point when gas was cheap. It was like, oh, get even more for the mile. And it only lasts for so long. I remember it sometime in, like, the 80s. I don't know if you remember this.
Well, actually, Jimmy Carter had mandates.
This is after the energy crisis of the 70s.
Well, Jimmy Carter put mandates in, and then Reagan reversed them.
There it is. There it is. Well, it was because he's an oil man. So, point being, now, cars could be more fuel efficient, but they're not. Okay, the manufacturers and the car automakers, they work together, blah, blah, blah. Now, but electric cars, they killed the electric car, right? But what if they brought it back? Now, here's a new thing, and this just taps into it, sort of that, you know, mankind creates its own catch-22 thing. Here we go. Thirsty electric cars threaten water resources. It says there may not be gas guzzlers, but electric cars have a raging thirst for water. A comparison to the volume of coolant water used in thermoelectric power plants that provide most of our electricity and that using in extracting and refining petroleum suggests that electric vehicles require significantly more water per mile than those powered by gasoline. The findings could bode ill for drought-stricken areas in the event of a large-scale switch to plug-in vehicles. Now, you're going to wonder, like, who's looking into this? It's like, you know, the petroleum report. It says here, King and colleagues found that cars, light trucks, and SUVs running off electric grid consume three times more water and withdraw 17 times more water per mile than their equivalent gasoline-powered vehicles. For electricity generation, consumed water is the amount of water lost to evaporation, whereas withdrawn water is the amount of surface water a power plant uses and later returns to its source, typically a nearby lake or river. He says one way to mitigate water use impacts electric vehicles by switching to dry cooling, using forced air instead of water to cool steam in power plants. This technology has been around for years but remains more expensive than water cooling, something King says could change as available surface water becomes more scarce.
So have you
I'm sorry, have you
heard about the GM initiative for driverless cars?
Driverless cars? What's a driverless car?
A car that drives themselves, even parking at their destination, could be ready for sale. It should be available by 2018. Much of the technology already exists for vehicles to take the wheel. Radar-based cruise control, motion sensors, lane-changing warning devices, electronically stability control, and satellite-based digital mapping. GM parts suppliers, university engineers, and other automakers are also working on vehicles that could revolutionize short- and long-distance travel.
Okay. Okay.
It says this is not life, science fiction. Larry Burns.
It doesn't say. Does it say this is not life is like science fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Let me see that.
You see, Mike. Once again, not. You have affected.
No, not
the
life
world.
As. It's, it says oh. This is not science fiction.
Oh, look at that. She just tried pulling mine. You're yanking my chain.
I tried to give you a kudos.
You know, that's a new thing, Mike. We should put a shout out for as many people that could say life is like science fiction and put it in writing and. And we'll go find it.
Well, I just want to give out the two lives of Napoleon Beasley. The website for the Incumbo Theater Company is I-N-C-U-M-B-O, that's incumbo.org. And you can also get tickets or on Smart Ticks for the two lives of Napoleon Beasley. If you want to see something very thought-provoking.
Spell it again for me, Mike.
The two lives, Incumbo is I-N-C-U-M-B-O, incumbo.org.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, I want to look at it right now. I-N, because people is just as slow as
Incumbo,
me.
Incumbo. Incumbo.
That's
dot
cool,
org.
Man.
Incumbo.
That's a great name.
We're having technical difficulties.
Ah,
what?
No, I want to step.
Or you want a sip?
So, Mike, it says here that the act for the two lives of Napoleon Beasley.
Yes.
The act I committed to put me here was not just heinous.
Heinous.
It was senseless, but the person that committed that act is no longer here.
Yes.
I am. A play by John Fleming.
Yes.
And you gave out the phone number?
Is there a phone number there?
Yes. If you'd like tickets, it's smarttix.com.
You said tick.
Or call 212-868-4444.
I don't even have that number.
And the show is from now until March 16th. And Thursday.
So, Chris, are you taking me?
Which is Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 7. And if you'd like to go, Elena, you're the incubator of my love.
Totally. I'll take you to McDonald's.
The incubator of my love.
I'll be your German
This
tipper.
Is still the soundtrack, by the way, to City of Men. Which is very good. Very good.
You want me to read what it says here, Mike, or no?
Sure.
What it's about? Or it says here, The Two Lives of Napoleon Beasley. Tells the true story of a 17-year-old African-American honor roll student who, in the midst of a carjacking, murdered the father of a prominent federal judge. As Napoleon sits on Texas death row, attorney Henry Boyd seeks answers as to how and why Napoleon got there and whether or not he can save his life.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be great. Critically acclaimed.
Yes, it is.
It's gotten some great, great reviews. Exciting, Mike, and you really liked it, right?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome.
Tune to listener sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is
Night Shift.
Night Shift. Chris, butt out.
What?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hi, who's this?
Terry.
Terry?
Yeah.
So, Terry, you have any neighbor horror stories?
Well, I live in Harlem, and my next door neighbors, you know, they're drug dealers, you know. I mean, it's Grand Central Station, but, you know, I mean, that is, quite
Aren't
normal.
You being a little bitchy?
That's
okay.
Normal. That's normal. Besides, if I ever feel the need, at least I don't have to go very far.
Hey, what do they sell over there?
You name it.
Really? It's like really? One-stop shop. It's like a supermarket.
Yeah, super.
Let's see. They got any hashish?
I'm sure they can
they
find that.
They still make hashish?
Coming right up, sir.
And
how would
about,
you like it?
Let me see. They have like how about blotter acid? They have any blotter acid?
Would you like that in a large or small?
Large. All right, let me get grande blotter acid A and So really, so they deal drugs, huh?
Regular or extra crispy?
Regular. Or extra crispy.
Your friend was telling a story. What's up, Elena? By the way.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Was telling a story basically about how this world is so doomed and, you know, the economy sucks and all that. The main problem that everybody is forgetting is that there's so much wealth concentrated in the hands of so few people. These corporations are just
that's
gobbling
why, listen,
up everything.
That's why they just published these new commandments. Okay, Elaine, you have the. Here's three of them. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's three of them. Thou shalt not take or deal drugs. Thou shalt not commit social injustice which causes poverty or the excessive accumulation of wealth by a few. Thou shalt not commit a pedophilia.
Who came up with these commandments?
The Vatican.
Oh, please.
These are.
Oh, you're reading my story.
What a joke.
Well, all right, you know, I only read three of them.
What a joke.
Elena, you've got more. She's got the latest commandments, please. Elena, what on earth? She asked for a sip and then, you know.
By the way, Mike, did you ever see that film, the 1%? That this a documentary that this guy who is an heir to in this very wealthy family, he made it about the rich people and the just how
the
differences are between the wealthy and the poor. And did you catch the part where he was interviewing the guy who started Kinko's? And he asked him, you know, this guy obviously is a very wealthy man. He said, on top of what you already have, would you like to make hundreds and hundreds of more millions of dollars? He said, sure I would. Sure I would. Of course I would. In fact, one day I want to go to the moon, and I want to look back down on this earth, and I want to say, yeah, that's part of my portfolio.
That's good. I like that. He sounds like an American.
Oh, yes, he was.
He was.
And then, and while they were filming it, a homeless guy walks up to him, and he's drunk, and he's asking for money. The guy reaches into his pocket, gives him a dollar, and he had just talked about how it's important to have empathy toward others.
Well, he gave him a dollar.
When the poor guy walked away, he said, I usually don't give people money, but I just wanted to get rid of this guy.
All right, well, there it is. Well, you know what? How much money does he have?
If he's not a billionaire, he's very close to.
Oh, I'm sure he's more than a billionaire, baby. I mean, the kid who started Facebook,
yeah,
worth $1.5 billion, okay? And he's 24. So the guy who started Kinko's has got to be worth, you know, upwards of $100 billion or something.
If it wasn't for Kinko's, Mike would never have gotten his script ready.
And Warren Buffett disowned his granddaughter because she participated in the film.
What film?
In the documentary about the 1%.
And he disowned her?
He sent her a letter. And she actually read it in the film. Oh, yeah. He said he no longer even referred to her as his granddaughter.
I hear you. But he can't cut her out of the money that her parents had.
Well, he never left her any money. He paid for her education. And once she got her degree, that's it. She's on her own. He's not leaving her any money. In fact, she works for a rich family.
Well, there it is.
But that's the problem. It's the corporations, you know.
You think that's the problem?
It's one of them.
I think it's one of the main problems.
Well, do you think that eventually, just like at one point in time, they had to put a separation between church and state, where at one time the Catholic Church was so powerful that it literally told the state what to do, you know, and they had to put a separation between church and state. Do you think at some point they'll have to put a separation between corporation and government, where there is no more special interest, there is no more influence by corporate over governmental policies and rollbacks and
it's such a thin line, Mike.
But it's one and the same thing.
You know, because it's just,
I mean, government is corporation.
That's the point.
Government is corporation.
There's not enough diverse ownership in this country.
Well,
every time you have a great upstart company, such as a large company gobbles it up. They pay off the owners. They give them. They make them rich instantly.
Hey,
own everything.
I have a friend who was working at New Line Cinema for 18 years. Okay, he said the scene there is just so. He said it's devastating. There are people who are sitting crying at their desks. People who are just drinking. Some people just don't even come in because,
What are you talking about?
Well, you didn't hear?
No.
Oh, yeah. They decided to disband. The two guys who started New Line finally just
New
said...
New Line, Robert
Shea.
Yeah, I know them
all.
Right. What'd they do?
They walked away. They walked away because they sold the company years ago to Warner's.
Yeah.
And Warner said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to turn your company into a shell of what it was. Of the 600 employees, maybe we'll keep 10%.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we'll keep 50, 60. You put out 6-7 films a year, your genre, that, and that's it. Everybody else is gone. And it just happened. It just went down. everybody will be getting pink slips in a matter of weeks. And
yeah, I was about, what's the, 88 is when I wrote the Fat Boys and did the Nightmare on Elm Street 4, yeah. They wanted to, he was telling me, Rob was telling me to buy stock at like $13 a share back
then.
Well,
you should have then, because it would be Time Warner stock now. So, there it is. But he said it's pretty devastating.
Going to destroy the fabric of this country.
Destroy the... Then what do you mean destroy the fabric? They are the fabric of this country. Wake up, son.
Well, it's going to collapse.
Well, it's it can only collapse in on itself.
Hey, man, how long have you lived at that apartment where the drug thing is?
I live in a brownstone, and the people next door to me, they don't ask me how they managed to own a brownstone, but, you know, it's like half the people in there. It's like Grand Central Station.
Wow. Well, you know,
did you hear
about...
nervous?
There's a record label they just
brought
down.
No, I mean, you know...
Where the record label itself was built on marijuana money, and they had, like, major artists on this label. Did you hear about that?
No, what'd you say?
I said there's a record label that the government has just recently brought down, and there was like a reggae label, an independent label, that the entire label, record label, was financed by drug money from selling pot.
Was it Death Row?
No, not Death Row, you fool. So, there it is. Hello, you're on the air.
This is obsolete technology, bro.
Hello, you're on the air.
Obsolete technology.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
I didn't agree with your callers that thought the present candidates are suitable. I can't picture a more... That's your science fiction horror.
Well, let me ask you... That,
yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any neighbor horror stories?
Oh, I have tons of them, but not as... flashy and the ones you're giving. I'm sorry,
I haven't even given mine
them.
Yet. Mine are like mine'll beat everybody's. What, are you kidding? I have horror stories.
Why don't you break in and tell us one?
Well,
I just want to say one thing about roaches and mice and various animals.
Oh, you want to make a comment about roaches and mice? Thank you.
Yeah, because actually they're not so harmful as people think, and what makes them toxic are the chemicals that kill them. Rather than good food.
Dare say that is a tad naive. Can I say that?
Oh, you're allowed. You can say anything you want. But to get to something funny, you may not believe this, but I remember we used to get constant exterminations when I lived in an apartment and my son was very young. Well, I didn't know this, but we had forgotten he was going to after-school program, so he didn't feed his fish regularly. And we found that they were eating roaches, and guess what parts they didn't eat? The legs. So we found these legs, and apparently they didn't kill the little fish until we got rid of the rest of the roaches. But that's a mild story, right? But they did...
That's a strange story, ma'am. It has nothing to do with your neighbors.
it is
slightly horrific.
I think this is the wrong level.
It's horrific.
Roaches fed the fish. They were doing very well on that. That's all I know.
It goes, Mike, actually, she's right. It goes along with my story that it's solving famine problems.
And I've heard that
fish can eat roaches, too.
People eat mice and roaches. Not roaches, maybe in some country they do. But I don't know anyone that eats them except that fish.
Yes, people do eat roaches, and people eat them chocolate-coated.
Well, yeah, every time you eat a Milky Way, you're eating roaches.
Stop.
Shut up, Chris.
No, they said that they...
How will you stop
with these... You're just down there tonight.
Rumormill.com.
No,
the roaches... Remember, they used to say Snapple was... sweetened
they
with...
Said it's all this,
Mike,
all the
whatever story you tell us, are you listening, Mike?
I'm listening.
I think Warren B., I won't even say his name because he's so offensive to me. I'm going to use this strange phrase and it won't sound good, but he should have been Kaczynski-eyed if we didn't incarcerate Kaczynski. He would have known how to off these horrific, whatever you call these people that all became billionaires because of their hedge funds and manipulations of corporate law, and include the Congress, too, by the way. They all are in on the free lunch. Get the book Free Lunch. This man, Jackson, I think his name is, wrote it, and he claims the government and politicians all get free lunches, and it's up to us to stop their free lunching.
Okay. Well, thank you,
ma'am. But Buffett is worse than that.
I agree.
Buffett and Gates and all. Thank you.
Thank you. Valley?
Yes.
Where are you, Valley? Are you there?
Am I here?
I don't know where you are.
Turn it up a little. Try it again.
There you go. Now, Valley, do you have any neighbor horror stories? Like any?
I'm going to have to, like, see how, you know, what the horrific level is here. First.
I don't know.
Like,
it's been fairly horrific. Someone,
all I heard so far is fish eating roaches.
No,
so.
that's not even.
No, yeah,
we've had a lot
worse.
Of good horror stories. Elena had some horror stories.
Does a cokehead next door who beats on your door at 5 in the morning have any place in the conversation?
That
works.
Tell us, where was this?
Was it cute?
No. Is anyone who's beating on your door at 5 in the morning particularly attractive when you were dead asleep? Not really.
Well, it depends.
Exactly. Depends on how long it's been, right?
I'm sorry.
No, it depends.
I know that's going to have to be bleeped out.
No, it depends on if it's someone you maybe used to be hooked up with and were hoping to still be hooked up with, and
right,
now
exactly.
They're knocking on your door.
Okay,
at 5
now that's a good no horrible.
That's way better than horrible.
It's way better than mine.
So wait, tell us now, where were you living that this was going on?
Long Island City, and it was ongoing 3 years. This guy was a major psych case, and despite the fact that I told him on numerous occasions, no, thank you, take your
call. Oh, really?
Home.
So.
Oh, seriously, he would come over and knock on the door at 4:30,
asking you to join him.
You guys want some coke? You want to do coke with me? You want to do a line? Come on.
Stop.
And this is a nice building. You know, we were in my building.
And you never called the police on him?
I
remember this place.
I had a little chat with the management one time and said, look.
Wow. All right, well, that's kind of horrific. Anything else?
The real horror was in his head. I mean, the stuff he would report to the management that he saw and heard. If our building was only that wild, I wish.
Oh, really? Well, I know somebody, actually a listener, who will remain nameless, was telling me a story about a neighbor.
It's not George, is it?
No, not George. And not on this
Hi,
show.
Hi, George.
But yeah, he's probably out there. I'm sure he's listening. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. They had this neighbor who was so loud and all played blaster TV, blaster radio, stomps around all hours of the night, so loud, like they literally couldn't get any sleep, so they reported it. And they have a guy that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you pay him a lot of money. He comes and he records the sound levels, I swear to you, to see if they are abusing what's in the laws for what is acceptable audio levels.
It's the decibel detector.
Yes, the decibel detector. Yeah, he comes in and he sets up a whole thing, and it's pretty intense. Like, and she was way over this neighbor. And then they found out that, like, she used to live in another part of the building, but she was such a nuisance there that they moved her to over this other
person. My cokehead got moved, too. They had complaints about him. In the lower floor, so then they bumped him up there, and I guess they
it's
thought...
It's common,
I don't
obviously.
Know. The relocation witness plan.
Yeah, exactly. And relocate mission neighbor plan. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live right next door to a prostitute.
And? Hello, you're on the air.
We were just getting to the good part.
Yeah, we lost him there.
Yeah,
hello,
happened?
You're on the air.
Then they hit him over the head with a ball pin hammer.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
He's finishing.
Dang.
He was telling us about the cannibals in the Bronx.
All right.
So.
Hannibal Lecter and you, babe.
So, okay, that's pretty horrific. I feel like
that's pretty
good. I can top all of you, I have to
all
say.
Right.
Can you
get on with it? Because we have like 5 minutes.
No, we have time. We have time. There's some other people.
Elena, you're always that impatient when you're making love.
I know.
Can you just get on with it?
I got no rhythm.
Elena.
Can you just get on with it?
Elena.
My little squirt.
I haven't sighed that much.
Does your mother know?
Elena? No.
That's my question. Does she know?
What'd you say? You don't get sex that much? What'd you say? Did you say that?
No, I don't have much rhythm.
Listen, Trish, don't try and get her to repeat things that she shouldn't have said to begin with.
They're already going to be blippable.
Exactly. Elena, did you say the...
7 words on our wall here?
Exactly. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, every time I hear Journey now, I think about Elena.
Hello, you're on the air.
I have a neighbor story for you.
Okay.
All right, good.
My neighbor is a governor in transition, and I've been knocking on his door for the last 3 weeks trying to find out what kind of water he's drinking. And then I realized after listening to the report today about the contaminated water that these rich son of a guns are in the same boat we all are in.
Well, I have to say, he may differ and feel that you're the you're the horrific neighbor because you keep knocking on his door asking him what water he's drinking. I would find that a little
odd. Well, because I don't want, I'm tired.
Odd,
I'm tired of drinking antibiotics and,
And so you knock on his door and say, oh, what are you drinking?
Because,
what are you drinking? You
know, no, because he's a billionaire. What the hell?
How do you knock on his door?
You know, what's really scary is they announce it after we've been drinking the water for 20 years.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, the water you've been drinking for 20 years, no wonder why you're having all kinds of cancers and mental problems.
Exactly.
And
hello,
I wonder why I'm all messed up.
Then they literally...
No, we really don't wonder.
Wow. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, gang.
Hey, who's this?
Guy that can't sleep.
I understand.
So I learned
you're
tonight.
Not the only one out there.
So let's see what we learned tonight. Roaches can be delicacies. Having sex with dogs. Cannibals in the Bronx.
And robots can teach you to drum.
Folks in the ghetto yell back in movies.
That's
and
right.
The dead can be punished.
The dead can be punished. Yes, they can.
That's a nice little sauce.
Yes, they can.
This guy's awesome.
Yes, he is.
I love your reviews on movies, too.
All right, well, thank you.
And
I have a few, actually, there's a couple movies on DVD I want to mention.
Oh.
Two Al Pacino films. It's interesting to look back on Al Pacino when he was young, 30 years ago. He had two great films. They were both great, but it's great to see him in them. Bobby Deerfield and a film called And Justice for All.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very interesting because he's had such a long and varied career. I've always found Al Pacino kind of hit or miss for me. But he's always an enjoyable performer. And I have to say, I have two things. One, Bobby Deerfield. Now, we were talking earlier, I played this piece of music from Days of Heaven, the Terrence Malick film.
Your film.
Score by Ennio Morricone. And it's got this beautiful piece of music on it. And it brought me right back to being, you know, like 14, 15, listening to Paul Wonder, who used to play movie soundtracks at like 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and hearing this music that, you know, I didn't know what it was. It was just beautiful. I didn't even know what the movie was, but I'll never forget Bobby Deerfield. I didn't see the film at the time when it came out, but I remember this girl I really, really liked. I could probably say her name here on the air. I could say her name here on the air because I always thought she had a name of like a James Bond character. Her name was Melissa Mountjoy. Okay. And I swear to you, that was her name. That was her name. I couldn't make
so
up a
wrong.
Name like that. I know. And I remember her telling me.
I get in trouble.
Trust me, I pined after this girl because she was so pretty. And I drew her, and, you know, I used to draw girls I was really attracted to. And she told me how I broke up with my boyfriend over the weekend. She comes in one Monday. She's like, I broke up with my boyfriend over the weekend, right in the middle of Bobby Deerfield. And that was my memory of this movie. Like, that's my first memory of Bobby Deerfield before I ever saw it.
That's a good one, too.
It is. So they're both on DVD. They're both definitely worth seeing. Because Sidney Pollack directed Bobby Deerfield. And I have to say, I bought recently. Bought. Now, emphasis the word here. Bought.
You.
I don't. That's right. I
never
bought.
You never buy a movie.
I never buy. I don't buy it.
I know. In
but
your house.
I,
you
exactly.
can't even fit a neck in your house because you have so
many
DVDs.
I know. But.
He doesn't even buy clothes.
You know, I have like my top 30. Top 50 films, like of all that, top 25 really that I will buy in any format and every format, and up in there is 2001: A Space Odyssey, which is just a brilliant. It's a brilliant film, but it's so brilliant to see. And I bought it in Blu-ray, and I have that big 71-inch screen, high def.
You're checking
home.
Out the new.
Oh
flat
my
screen.
God! Oh my God! I'm there. I'm an ape laying with. All right. So
naked.
So I have to say on the thing, it's great. It's so beautiful. The music. It's like nobody's. But they have these documentaries on there. All these, you know, behind the scenes people. Everybody's on this praising. They've got Spielberg, Lucas, James Cameron, Sidney Pollack, like all on there talking about.
Are they current excerpts? When
they're current. They're now. They're now. Now
oh,
them
cool.
on there right now talking about how great Kubrick is, and I have to say, wow, these are the leaders, the pioneers, the most successful filmmakers, all praising Kubrick, and it's pretty amazing. If you look back on his career, and I the other film that I bought two films.
Okay.
What, 2001: A Space Odyssey? And I bought Spartacus, another Kubrick.
Oh,
song.
Lord.
And he doesn't even like, he disavows Spartacus.
That says a lot. Because
he doesn't
you
even like
the
it.
Outfit?
Yeah, I bought it for the outfit. I bought it for the. Come here, slave.
Actually, I love to see you in the lap.
What's your name, slave?
Oh. You look hot in that outfit.
I just love it.
You get the deleted scene. Was it Spartacus the
deleted scene?
The what? So, yeah, of course, that deleted scene. I'll give you some trivia about the deleted scene.
Okay.
That's how much of a, you know, geek film geek I am. Okay, the deleted scene.
What else is new?
The oyster scene between Tony Curtis and Laurence Olivier. But Elena's holding her breast. I'm not sure why. The oyster scene between Tony Curtis and Laurence Olivier, and it's this one that's got these homosexual overtones about oysters, and oysters and snails. Some men prefer oysters, some men prefer snails, and they're in the water, you know, and he's bathing him. And now, they found this scene, but when they found the scene, they had no sound. Now, this is maybe 6 years ago.
Ooh.
And so Tony Curtis clearly is alive, so they brought him in. He could still do his voice. He still sounds like Tony Curtis. But they did not have Laurence Olivier.
Right, so they got what's-his-face from Hannibal Lecter.
Look, Chris is trying to tell my story.
Chris,
Calm down, Chris. The person who does a dead-on Laurence Olivier is Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
Hannibal Lecter.
And when you hear it, if I say that to you, if you watch the scene, you go, it's Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins as in the gay scene in Spartacus.
Did you get the Blu-ray version?
Of course. Well, actually, it was no Blu-ray. It was on HD, but I have both formats. So
that's
I have
the one
HD.
Put out by, what's the name of the company that put out all
that? Not Criterion. It's not Criterion, no. But it's a Criterion type release. What?
It's a Criterion.
Is the official chapter title on the DVD the gay scene?
No, it's just called the snails and oyster scene. Snails and oyster scene.
And bathing scene.
The homoerotic scene.
The different stuff.
The homoerotic shellfish scene.
Shellfish scene.
In bathing suit scene.
Big Daddy Crawdaddy scene.
Is it different stuff, Mike, than what's on the Criterion release? Or?
Well, you know, I think it's probably, they probably cribbed a lot of stuff from the Criterion release because it's got everything on there.
Could I say the best thing about it, too, to keep in mind was Douglas hired Dolph Trumbo, who was still blacklisted.
Of course. Well, Douglas was ahead of his time. He was the man. He hired, because of Paths of Glory, he hired Kubrick. And though Kubrick, like I said, to this day disavows the film.
Is that Elena?
That was somebody's cranky neighbor.
Hello, you're on the
calling
air.
In to do their own story.
Do the female unit have a logical function?
That was
hello.
The robot from the Bronx. Hello, you're on the air.
Another 2 hours of radio wasted.
Well, you know what's interesting, sir, that you listened. Hello, you're on the air. It's true. It's like he called at the beginning of the show. It's awful. It's awful. 2 hours later. I've been listening for hours.
He's been waiting, queued up,
waiting
with
for
all
the
these
show to get. He's waiting for the show to get good. I'm still waiting. It's been 8 years. The show still sucks. I listen every week.
Really enjoyed the screening last week, by the way.
Exactly. Ah, there he is. There's his brother, the burper. Hello, you.
Is that what that was?
We used to have a guy that would call it just burp.
I thought it was just a guy swallowing.
A certain level there, you know? Like you're home alone. It's late at night. And we were on at like 3:30 in the morning at the time.
Oh,
and then you call up and burp on the radio. And then you go to work the next day. Hi. You know,
I remember that guy.
You're a newer person.
Oh, right.
All right, how about this?
Well, you know, they call like years from now, Mike, and go, you know, I used to be the burper they used to call.
Exactly.
At least you have.
It was when I had my mental problem.
Exactly.
When?
Exactly. Back when I had my mental problem.
That's another win.
Now, I have tonight's most fantastic story I do have. Here, I had some stories here for you too, Val, that I thought were most interesting. But my favorite story is the changeable plastic that mimics a sea cucumber. Okay, you ready?
And we hear why?
This is fantastic.
And we're also sure what the original shape of a sea cucumber is?
Well, no, you got to understand.
I'm sure it's pleasing.
A new material inspired by a defense.
Is this about nanoparticles?
No, it's not. But I do have.
The lady always wants to be all about nanoparticles.
I knew.
Story.
And nobody. And then everybody shuts off.
Be quiet. Be quiet. They shut only those of a certain,
boring.
No. Come
certain
on,
level of intelligence shut off. All right. A new material inspired by a defense mechanism in sea cucumbers can change easily from hard and rigid to soft and floppy.
Why would you want that direction?
Exactly. Nagging wife.
There it is. They're going to make condoms out of it. All right, it says, when wet, the material
totally
changes from
wife.
A stiff plastic to a rubber-like state in seconds, and then it can change back just as quickly. The material mimics a trick done by sea cucumbers, the invertebrate sea creatures that can quickly change the stiffness of their skin, forming a kind of armor in response to a threat. We use the skin of these sea cucumbers as the basis of a new class of artificial material that can change the mechanical properties on command. Wetter and colleagues plan to use the material in medical applications such as pliable brain electrodes used in treatments for patients with Parkinson's disease or stroke or spinal cord injuries. The material will be stiff to make implanting it easy, then it becomes flexible in water-rich brain to closely resemble the surrounding tissue.
That really is cool.
I was going to say
a smart-ass remark about ladies' call to order now for $19.99 to get this for your boyfriends.
Exactly. But here's the best part. It says it's made from two compounds, a rubber-like polymer and tiny cellulose fibers that add stiffness. When the cellulose fibers cross, they form hydrogen bonds that make the whole material hard. Now, here's the best part. These nanofibers are glued to each other wherever they intersect. If you add water, the water will unglue the intersections. The water acts as a hydrogen debonding agent.
You just like to say agent.
Yes, I do. And bond, too.
So it gets harder?
Tonight you can
we just come up and it gets harder.
And Mountjoy.
It's amazing. Come on, tell me that doesn't sound like
that
it.
That is cool.
Come on. That was your name.
I'm giving you four cool points. Elena.
Yeah, Mom.
I have to use your name somewhere. Hello, you on the air.
I have a question about that story you just read.
George, I'm going to tell you something.
George, did you hear I did a shout-out to
there's
you?
One, there's one. Did you hear the shout-out Valley gave you, by the way, George?
About 10 minutes ago?
Yep.
Yes, about 10
I
minutes.
Did.
You did. All right. Well, I have to say, George.
I'm delighted.
I give you a shout-out, George. You are in my head. There's
why?
I'll tell you why. There's a mix. Best of Night Shift, what's some Best of Night Shift tape, where I did a music mix in the beginning.
So why don't you just send it to him?
Shut up. And I did a music mix in the beginning. And
don't tell Valley to shut up because she raised so much money for this program.
I know. I didn't tell Valley. Only Elena.
You did. No,
raised
you
nothing. Did. Elena, all she did is raise her skirt. No, but
that's worth. It breaks a lot of people's smiles.
I know.
It's worth $14.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, the point I'm making is that I do this music mix, and then after the show, after the mix is over, and then it was me and Byron, his old mix, and
you and who?
Byron.
Oh, Byron! Oh,
right,
I love
and then
Byron,
you call in, and you're like, wow, the music you played this morning, and you're like, it was fantastic, and you're like, you're in the mix, and you're like, it's fantastic, and I always think of that, I don't know why.
It's fantastic, George.
It's a compliment to
George,
you. That's why you always remember.
How far back does that go?
Oh, it's got to be at least eight years.
Wow.
George soundbites in my head.
Wow. Well, I'd like to, first of all, when you read the story just now about those hydrogen things and sticking and everything, and it says it can happen on command.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of, is that a verbal command or some kind of electronic
stimulus?
It
happens, what are you talking about? You're talking about the
molecules that can change from rubber to plastic?
Yes. It's not a verbal command like, harden now! Like,
that's
it's clobbering time!
Yeah,
George,
blame on!
James.
George, it's the old-fashioned stimulus.
George
wants a verbal command.
George wants a verbal command. Get hard now!
I have a neighborhood.
All right, we're going out.
I want that, too.
You want the condom made of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
How easy would that day be?
Condom made of sea cucumber.
Exactly.
Get hard now!
Sea cucumber condoms.
Stop, I need to go get a drink.
Get hard now.
Hard now. Could you imagine?
No.
Hard now. Stop.
Hard now.
Stop. Back off this topic.
Plus, you know how into nutrition I am. I have to say you're probably going to be rich in antioxidants.
There we go.
No. You don't even have to touch them. You just get started.
You just say it. You say, get hard now.
Get hard now.
Seriously? Stop.
Get hard now.
Stop.
It's Spielberg direct Jurassic Park.
Yes,
fool.
And Jurassic Park,
okay.
Too.
All right, I saw that.
He's feisty tonight. He tells Elena to shut up and calls
movie?
You a fool.
What's the name of the movie?
I know, he's a little angry.
What is the name of the movie?
He fasted all day.
What is the name of the movie he directed?
Is that it?
Yeah.
What is the name of the movie he directed, which takes place in Shanghai?
Temple
Big
of Doom?
Big Trouble in Little China.
No, that's John Carpenter. No,
Indiana
Jones and Temple of Doom.
What?
See, I got one.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, I didn't see
Elena
that.
Got it.
I saw this one. I saw Jurassic Park, and I was underwhelmed. I saw this Chinese movie that took place.
Oh, Empire of the Sun.
That's
crap.
Right.
I got another one wrong.
Awful. Then I saw today, for the first time, I saw Schindler's list.
Okay.
That's the first time you've seen that?
Yes.
I've never seen
what
it.
What did you think?
I've never actually.
I thought it was right in line with the other two movies I saw. Predictable, scattershot, bad direction, many lines of dialogue.
Too many notes.
You know, Mike, you should have said that to Steven Spielberg. You should have said I didn't see
Schindler's List. I think he's way overrated. Kubrick, yes, was a genius. I think Spielberg.
I don't know what happened there. You got consumed by feedback. Hello, you're on the air.
You unleashed.
Now, isn't that cute? There was a cock trying to.
George, go back so we can get the rest
for free.
Of you.
Okay, all this fun of Maggie and Horn. How about getting wet now? Like,
Jeff, could you speak English? Yeah, come on, Jeffrey.
I'm not sure.
Jeff, you sound like you're calling from a cab.
Get
Wet. Can you please pick up the fare right now, please?
Jeff, you sound like you're talking about with a wet rag in your mouth.
Having a little hard time.
Get wet now.
Jeffrey.
Get wet now.
Uh-oh.
Hello, you're on the air.
Jeff's got a wet rag in his mouth. That's
exactly.
Funny.
That's what it sounds like. Hello, you're on the air. Remember Mush Mouse?
Oh, man, I'm still thinking about the cucumber
condom. Oh, is that from the Saturday morning tape?
Yeah, and Pumpkin
Mush Mouth.
What is it about Stanley Kubrick in your mind that makes all the other directors, even directors like Spielberg, become so in awe?
It's simple. Because he expanded the form. He took you past what had been done. He took things to a new level.
Yeah,
In
did.
So many ways, in so many films. It's just, you know, if you don't know it.
Yeah,
then
now it
I
might not seem that revolutionary, but at the time.
He was about making films. Mm-hmm. He didn't really care about anything else.
I mean, there are a few people, a few directors who can do things that change and redefine a genre. There are few directors who can do that. There are even fewer that can do it over and over. And there are even fewer who can do it in various genres.
In what way did you say that he did that in difference to Spielberg, who handled like different genres? And
Spielberg and Lucas both.
And I'm not saying that these directors are bad. I'm just trying to.
Are you asking me a question?
Yes, but I'm just trying to be sure that you understand my question.
I understand. I do.
Okay.
You're
good
qualified.
Point, sir.
You're not putting them down. I think Spielberg and Lucas both have helped redefine genres and a certain type of filmmaking that they have. Let's face
genres.
It. They created. Literally, between the two of them, they created the concept of the summer blockbuster. That it is them. We forget this
just
now.
It's a little deeper than that.
I'm just giving him an example. So they've done a number of things for the art and form of
But
film.
Are you answering his question?
Well, I'm trying to. If I didn't have someone who keeps clutching her breast interrupting me. So,
I'm trying to distract you.
My opinion is that, yes, they have. I don't think they've done it on the same level and with the same consistency and purely with the form like Spielberg and Lucas have. I mean, like Kubrick has. Spielberg and Lucas have made some great films and have redefined some genres and have, you know, just changed the game in a lot of ways. But I don't know that they have expanded the form of film in the way that Kubrick did.
In what way would you say? I'm just trying to get an understanding here, because I don't even consider George Lucas in the same category as Spielberg and Kubrick. But in what ways would you say, like, which way Kubrick really redefined, you know, the genre? Because I think I give
okay,
more credit
I'll,
than
simple. I'll
the
put it simple.
Movie.
I'll just give you one thing that Kubrick did. Kubrick made science fiction something adults would see, and made science fiction that people would take seriously. Prior to that time, science fiction that would be taken seriously was few and far between, and they were at best a voyage to the bottom of the sea or a big Disney epic like 20,000 Leagues Beneath the Sea. At best, still kind of for kids.
And I'm
okay?
forgetting to.
And we're coming off a time in the 40s and 50s where science fiction films were all about, you know, bug-eyed monsters and giant this and giant that. And, you know, come on, to come and do 2001 in the same decade as films like Destination Moon or, you know, any number of science fiction films that were made in the 50s and 60s is mind-boggling. The first 20 minutes of that film has no dialogue. How about that?
I hear you.
That's just my, you know,
No, I hear you. Great point. I just have to check out more of his films, really, to get a better assessment. The only thing I've
Check out The Shining or Full Metal Jacket or any of...
Would those be like his quote-unquote like summer popcorn movies, like Fluffy as opposed to...
No, they're not
Fluffy.
The concept of summer popcorn movies that you grew up with is not what they were back in the day.
Chris is right. If you saw The Shining, you wouldn't like want to sleep again.
All right, now, Valerie, you have a story?
Doesn't that sound tantalizing?
I thought this was inspirational.
I like this story a lot. 101-year-old marathon hopeful is training hard. Another story about being hard, people. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Hard
from London. Already Britain's oldest employee, 101-year-old Buster Martin, now aims to become the world's oldest marathon runner by competing in the London Marathon and celebrating afterwards with a pint of beer and a cigarette.
There it is.
Sprightly and bearded, he completed a half marathon at the weekend in 5 hours and 13 minutes. Some people who are 25 can't even do this. The former Army physical training instructor, remember, again, he's 101, our boy Buster, works 3 days a week for a London plumbing firm and says he's trained for the April 13th race in his spare time.
Wow.
I've said I'll attempt it, he told a reporter by telephone. I didn't say I'll finish it. If I do make it, all the better. I hadn't thought of doing it before, but someone asked me, and the money goes for charity, so why not? His sponsorship money is slated to go for the Rise Daniels Trust, which provides temporary accommodations for families of patients in specialist children's hospitals. Martin, check this out. This is impressive. No wonder the guy can do a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Has 17 children.
Good Lord.
He already did a marathon. And returned to work, I love this, at the age of 99, saying he was bored after 2 years of retirement. He would beat the previous record for the world's oldest.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.